Our scripture this morning is 2 Kings, the 10th chapter, and verse 15. When he left there, he met Jehonadab, son of Rechab, coming to meet him. He greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart as true as mine is to yours?" Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand. Jehu took him up with him into the chariot.
A most interesting piece of scripture. Would you agree? We're going to explore that in the next few minutes this morning, and I hope maybe in context, it will make a little bit more sense than perhaps it did when it was read. Now, if I can just get these pages apart. George Whitefield was an early follower of John Wesley and the Methodist movement. He was among the first of the Methodist preachers. Shortly after the founding of the Georgia colony here in 1733, Whitefield came over here from England as one of our first pastors. He served the Anglican Church, which still is in Savannah, and he founded that beautiful church that's located on St. Simon's Island. During his tenure here, George Whitefield wrote back to one of his friends and colleagues back in England, and he said, "I can truly say that whomever loves the Lord Jesus, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Whomever loves the Lord Jesus, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This has been a fundamental element of the Methodist movement ever since. The unity of the faithful. The sermon I am about to preach is based on, but it is not, don't worry, based on one of the sermons that John Wesley preached on numerous occasions back in London during the 18th century. He called it, interestingly enough, the Catholic Spirit. The Catholic Spirit. Now, we've got to understand, you know, he doesn't want everybody to go across the street and join St. Matthew's. All right? Catholic in this case means universal or unified. The Catholic Spirit, the Spirit of unity. Is your heart to me the same as mine is to you? If it is, then give me your hand. Handshakes, in one form or another, have been a traditional form of greeting in most cultures for several thousand years. And the custom first came about to signify that the men who were greeting one another were doing so in peace. And by shaking hands, they were showing that there is no weapon in their hands. Wouldn't necessarily work for a left-hander like me, but since we're only less than 10% of the population, we'll go with the flow, okay? So we shake hands with our right hand, we have no weapon, we come in peace. Well, things have changed a bit over the years. And today, a handshake can mean various things in differing circumstances. Most often, it's a form of greeting, and now, not just between men. Sometimes a deal between two parties is confirmed by a handshake. And at other times, the hand is offered as a sign of a truce or a peace offering after some sort of conflict. The world of athletics, very often opposing coaches will meet each other at center court or in the middle of the field of endeavor, and they'll shake hands before a football or a basketball game, and then very often they will be out there again shaking hands after the game's over, as sometimes will some of the players who have just been trying to beat each other's brains out. You know, I got to say this. I think I saw Nick Saban almost smile Monday night, or actually early Tuesday morning, as he shook hands with Kirby Smart after the end of the national championship game. That was something. To understand the passage that Dan just read from its biblical perspective, we've got to take a look at the entire story of this agreement between, it's variously called Jehu or Yehu, I prefer the Y pronunciation, and Jehonadab. As usual, Old Testament can come up with some doozies of names. Agreement between Yehu and Jehonadab. Agreement, the handshake, were part of a much larger and more complex picture. It was the sign of an agreement between two potential combatants. When Yehu invited Jehonadab to shake hands, it was for Jehonadab to agree to help Yehu eradicate all of the followers of the pagan god Baal, or what's often called Baal, throughout Israel. But having said that, we've got to recognize that it was far from a deal between two equal parties. Yehu was the new king of Israel, had taken over by a coup, and had previously assassinated King Azariah of the southern kingdom of Judah. Then he assassinated King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel, as well as Ahab's wife Jezebel, all of his family, and many within his court. It was a bloodbath. Under these circumstances, though, we get the feeling that Yehu was really saying to Jehonadab, if you don't want us to do the same thing to you and your followers, then you'd better agree with me and join forces. But Father John, thank goodness, was to make a very different point in his sermon. Thank goodness. And he said, interestingly, that in this Old Testament verse are contained the two essential elements of Christianity in general and of Methodism in particular. Is your heart to me as is my heart to you? If so, then give me your hand. Like his friend and associate, George Whitefield, John Wesley believed that all who seek to be obedient to God are welcome into the fellowship of the church. And he taught that in the essential elements of the faith, namely Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are to exhibit unity. In the essentials, unity, Wesley said. In those things that are perhaps not quite so essential, we are to show liberty. And what Father John meant by that is we are to believe and let believe. We are to think and let think. But he said, regardless, in all things we are to show charity, from the Greek word for love. In all things we are to show charity. In other words, we don't have to think alike, we don't have to believe alike, we don't have to worship alike, we don't have to share the same ideology. We are, however, to love alike. Pages want to stick together, sorry. You know, we are to love alike. And that's what our Methodist Church motto says. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. In other words, within the Wesleyan movement, then as now, there is a place for everybody. There is room for all and all points of view. It is, as we seem to be finding out these days, both our greatest strength and our greatest problem. To be open to the potential validity of the beliefs of others. Let's face it, folks. Just be perfectly honest right here. We all have opinions about this, that, or the other thing. We do so theologically, we do so politically, and in a whole other bunch of areas. And we all think our opinions are right. Otherwise, we change them, huh? And if you're like me, you've change some of those opinions sometimes drastically in the course of years when those previously held opinions come into the face of reality. That's what life and growth are all about. Maybe that's the reason somebody told me one time that opinions are like noses. We all have one. And they all smell. So, it's not here so much a matter of our minds being alike. I guess, since Dan prayed that beautiful prayer he played from Father George, we've got to say that's true in a church standpoint. And it's true from a national standpoint. The United States was founded on the principle of believe and let believe. It was founded on the principle of we're all in this together. And one of Ben Franklin's most favorite, our most famous sayings is, folks, we better all hang together, for most assuredly, we'll hang separately. We're there in this country and in our church right now. Think for a minute. What a boring, dull life it would be if we all thought the same way. What a boring, dull world it would be if all of us looked out the same window at the same thing all the time. My goodness gracious, you talk about limiting your focus, limiting your options, limiting your possibilities. That's the best way I know of to do it, to eliminate all other counterpoints of you. The differences in our thoughts, the differences in our beliefs, when we start sharing these differences. And when we're open to the differences that others see, believe, feel, think, then there is a marvelous process called synthesis. It's a scientific term, but it means you take this, you take the other thing, and blend them, and the end result is something that's better than either this or that. Okay? We share our thoughts with others, we listen to what they have to say, and we both learn, and we both grow. So the important thing is not that we think alike, not that we believe alike, not that we worship alike, not that we even read the Bible alike. The important thing is that we love alike. Thank you. The important thing is that we love alike. And as Mr. Wesley preached his sermon, he was saying that regardless of our circumstances, as I said a moment ago, we're in this together. There's room for everybody, for all opinions, at least the great majority. And he was saying that it's okay to disagree as long as we're not disagreeable. Okay? We can see things differently from one another if our heart is in the right place. If your heart is to mine, as mine is to yours, then give me your hand. Give me your hand. St. Paul said essentially the same thing in his first letter to the church in Corinth. And one of the first things, first chapter, that he wrote in that marvelous letter to that congregation he had previously served was, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no division among you. St. Paul. Later in that same letter in chapter 11, he would write about an ingenious analogy in which he compared the church to the human body. You know, hands, arms, heads, feet, whatever. And he said that we are all in the church members of one body. Just as our head, our hands, our feet are members of our one human body. One body. For in one spirit we are all baptized, Jew, Greek, slave, free, and I'll go political, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever. We are all made to drink, said St. Paul, of one spirit. Then he went on in a genius passage. He went on to ask, what if one part of the body would feel like another part of the body didn't belong because it wasn't the same? As if the head would say to the feet, get out of here, I don't want you, you're not like me. Duh. And head, how are you going to get where you need to go? Huh? Think about that a minute. He further told his Corinthian flock, but God has so arranged the body that there be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. All right. Listen to that. That the members may have the same care for one another. If your heart is to mine as mine is to yours, then give me your hand. I think most of us are old enough to remember the 60s. If we didn't smoke our way through it. And I think you would have to agree with me that the 60s was an interesting time. Take my word on that, Chris. You're an historian. You ought to have at least learned a little bit about it. The 60s was an interesting time. And during that era, some of us actually thought that we could make a real difference in the way things were. We thought we could make a difference. And one of the ways that we thought we could make that difference was through our music. I don't know, maybe we thought we could sing our way into the kingdom or some such. And in college, I was a part of a folk music trio. We called ourselves the Cane River Trio. Pat, Shirley, y'all know where the Cane River is. It's actually a 23-mile long lake, 100 yards wide, that goes right through the middle of Natchitoches, Louisiana, where Northwestern State, where Mickey and I went to school, where it's located. And one of the songs that we of the Cane River Trio and many others used to sing was, "They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love." Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And I think it's going to be up on the wall. And if you even remember it vaguely, I'd like to invite you to go back to a former day and time and hopefully and prayerfully sing it with me. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may someday be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one.
And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
If your heart is to mine, as mine is to you, then give me your hand. So let it be. Amen and amen.